Hey, boys, how's it going out here on the nature trail?
Now,
whoa.
Dr. Benson, are we doing this right?
Well, Jonathan, we're trying to dig a hole to lay a concrete slab.
So we can display a full Coelophysis dinosaur skeleton?
Right, Eddie. That's kind of why we've been doing all this digging.
Our visitors are going to love it!
I agree, Thad. Okay, I'm heading back to the dinosaur graveyard. We have lots of visitors today.
Bye.
Hey, either that guy can't wait to get here, or he's in trouble.
He just jumped out of that truck and is running right toward us.
I'm a courier with Get It Fast Delivery in Santa Fe. I have a very important package for Dr. Kendall Park.
I'm his son, Jonathan.
Hey, catch!
A package?
Yes! That's your problem now. These men have been after me all the way here.
Hey, kids!
Run!
Hey, no!
We've got to get this package to Dad in the museum.
Hey, don't run!
Let's get through the dino graveyard!
It's just over this hill.
Get back here right now!
What do they want with this package? The graveyard! Okay, let's get straight across to the museum.
Watch out for all the people!
Oh,
sorry.
Watch out!
Whoops.
What are you doing?
Do that.
Jonathan, what's going on here?
Call the police!
They're right behind us!
Run!
Let's split up!
We'll keep in contact with our communicator watches.
Right. Come on, Mike. Let's jump on one of these quads.
Hey, kids! Let go! Yucca!
I'll follow the two on the quad. You follow the boys on foot. Not in front of us.
Mike, are you okay back there?
Yes, but he's catching up.
Mike, we're not going to make it to the museum. Our secret cave entrance is just ahead. I'm going to slide to a stop, and let's see if we can lose him in there.
I'm with you.
Here we go.
There's the entrance.
Hurry, get in.
Jonathan, give me your hand.
Thanks. Let's hide behind the boulder under the light. Quick, he's coming.
You think you can hide in this cave? What's in that package is very old, and it needs to come with me. It's no use, boys. It's just a matter of time.
Jonathan, are you there?
You watch.
We finally just lost the guy that was after us.
Aha! There you are.
Oh, great timing.
Give me the package now.
He's got us, Jonathan.
Will the man get the package away from them? What's inside? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Journey Never Taken.
Look. You have no other option but to give that to me.
Everyone keep walking this way.
Who's that?
It's one of our guided tours.
Okay, you little twerps. I'm going to have to take it from you myself.
Mike, smash the light!
Okay.
Oh, Mike, well, the light seems to be out.
Hey!
Okay,
it's pitch black in here.
Mike, join the museum tour. We'll sneak out with you.
Let's make our way through to our last room.
I know you're still in here, and I'm going to find you.
All right, everyone. Our museum's tour is moving into this next room. Kendall?
Thank you. All right, beginning in this room of the museum, we start a presentation of the history of science.
In 1650, James Usher published a chronology claiming that the world was about 6,000 years old, based on the Bible.
Wow.
Now, although some had other ideas, most Christians trusted this young age for the earth. During this time, it was also accepted that God had made each kind of animal and that mankind was made special in His image, as we find in Genesis 1 and 2.
If you focus your attention here on this display, you'll see that several authors of this time attributed rock layers and fossils to the worldwide flood of Noah's day.
Men were asking questions about our world, and the answers were based on the scriptures. Now, as you can see here, much of the scientific thinking of that day was fulfilling the words spoken years earlier by creation astronomer Johannes Kepler, who said that science was, quote, thinking God's thoughts after him.
So that's the scientific climate that existed before Darwin came on the scene. But things were about to change, as you can see.
Dad, are you in here? Mike and I were... Oops, you're doing a tour.
Well, everyone, this is my son, Jonathan, and his friend, Mike.
So, as Kendall was saying, the scientific climate was much different than it is...
Son, are you okay?
A little trouble, maybe?
Kendall?
Okay, look, I'm sorry, folks. It looks like we have a little business to attend to here, so if you'll just let Bethany at the front desk know that our guided tour was cut short, she'll be happy to give you a free pass to Hidden Cave or the Brennan Dinosaur Fossil Dig Site. Wow. It's your choice.
No problem. This was fascinating.
Okay, Jonathan, what's going on here?
Dad, some courier came running up with this package for you.
He handed it off and then ran away.
Let's not open it here in front of the museum visitors. I think it's time for an impromptu meeting of the creation response team. Let's meet in the conference room in 30 minutes.
Okay.
Andres, you made it back safe.
Yes. They didn't see me leave.
Nor I.
Ah, we failed. The package is probably in the hands of Dr. Kendall Park by now.
We were so close!
Jakob, for hundreds of years, our families have sought it. And this was our time. We could have had it in our hands. And nobody would even have known. But now that the creation response team has it, many will find out.
So, what do we do now?
Jakob, are you willing to give your all to get it?
Like you, I waited for this day. Nothing will stop us.
Jonathan, thank you for briefing the creation response team on how we got this package.
Yes, sir.
Wow, what an adventure.
So what's in the package?
Well, that's a good question, Katie. Shall we find out together?
Oh, what is that, Kendall?
I don't know, Angela.
It looks like a medallion.
What's it say on it?
Let me see. Neshit Okasum.
I think it's Latin.
Look at how beautiful it is. Look at the white enamel. It forms a five-pointed star.
And each section of that star is separated by a gold crown.
With a large gold crown.
With a cross on top.
We're rich.
Hold on, let's see. Oh, there's also a very old envelope. Look at that.
Yes, look at how it's yellowed over the years.
Dad, look on the other side. It has a seal that looks just like the metal.
Hey, look at that. You're right, son. There's also a slip of paper inside.
What's it say? Is it in English?
Yes, Ryan. It says, I am the North Star. I will point you to truth. I hold for you a journey better than your wildest imagination. At journey's end, you will discover a great reward. However, even that reward will be counted as little gain compared to the prize you will win in the passage itself. To accept my challenge, simply return me to my home of 1758.
Wow, that's so mysterious.
I called the delivery service that sent it to us, and they insisted that the man who sent it kept anonymous.
I think it wants us to go on a journey. Are we going to go?
Well, Jesse, we've been blessed with resources from the Battle of the Worldviews TV competition. But especially now, we need to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us.
We want to focus our efforts on furthering the creation message, but how?
We do have a lot of requests coming in. There have been a few newly discovered dinosaur sites. Also, we're receiving lots of invitations for creation presentations.
This is a critical time for us right now, as we seek our purpose. And this medallion could be a big distraction.
So what are we going to do?
Well, Ryan, before we do anything else, I want to find out more about this metal.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Well, Franklin Harvey Ashe, good to see you again. Say, how are things here at the Santa Fe Museum of Ancient Art?
Benjamin, I'm living a dream.
Oh, that's wonderful. Of course, you do remember my family.
Remember them? Why, we've been through many an adventure together. Right, gang?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Ash, you got the pictures I emailed over to you yesterday?
I sure did, Katie. Very helpful.
Here's the real metal.
Wow, it's even more beautiful in person.
So, what can you tell us about it?
Quite a bit. I've already spent a few hours doing some research based on the info Katie sent over.
Was I right about it being Latin?
Yes, Katie. It says, it knows no decline.
What's that mean?
Ryan, I believe it's referring to the kingdom of its origin, that it will always be great.
And where might that be?
Sweden.
Sweden?
Yes. You know, I tracked down a picture of it in this book that describes the royal orders bestowed by the country of Sweden. Oh, look. Look right here at this picture.
Well, that's it!
See, the country of Sweden has handed out royal honors for hundreds of years. And one of those honors is known as the Knights of the Polar Star. Those devoted to civic duties in science or literature or the establishment of beneficial institutions.
What exactly does that mean, Franklin?
Well, the Knights of the Polar Star were first created by King Frederick of Sweden in 1748.
Franklin, you've really done your homework.
Oh, thanks. Well, don't you want to know who it belonged to?
Well, yes, of course. You know?
According to the date Katie sent me, 1758, Carl Linnaeus.
Carl Linnaeus?
Would you remind me who that was again, Dr. Park?
Well, Jesse, Carl Linnaeus was a great scientist who believed in the Creator. He believed in natural theology.
What's that mean, Dad?
Well, he believed that the Creator made our world with purpose, and that by studying nature, we could learn about God's order.
That's like Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
So what was his contribution to science?
Well, Linnaeus was fascinated by all the wonderful variety of plants and animals. So he set out on a mission to design a system to classify all the different kinds made by God. His personal motto was, God created, Linnaeus organized.
So he's the one that gave us our present-day classification system for plants and animals.
That's right, and much of it is still in use today. He grouped plants and animals based on their physical appearance. First, he grouped things into a hierarchy, or levels of groupings. And second, he invented the binomial nomenclature system.
You just lost me.
Well, Katie, the scientific name for a banana slug is Areolamax columbianus. Every species has a two-word name like this, and it was Linnaeus who started it all.
But don't many evolutionists credit Linnaeus with designing a system that works really well with the theory of evolution?
Well, that's right, Jim. You see, evolutionists like to group animals with similar traits together because they believe that they have evolved from one another. To them, similar traits mean that they are close on the evolutionary chain.
But that's not at all what Linnaeus believed.
As a creationist, Linnaeus believed that similar traits didn't point to common evolutionary ancestors. Instead, he believed that similar traits pointed to a common designer.
Mr. Ash?
Yes, Marge?
Two men are coming to see you.
Please tell them that I'm in a meeting with some friends.
Sorry, sir, it's too late. They're on their way to your office right now.
Thanks, Marge. Hey, I'm sorry, gang.
It's okay.
No problem. Go right ahead.
Stay right where you are.
But what?
Please, not with the children.
What do you want?
Dad, it's the men who chased us.
What's the meaning of this?
Dr. Park, we believe you have the polar star of Careless Lane. Hand it over, and everyone will be fine. Now hand over the polar star.
How did you know we had it?
For years, my family has been awaiting the return of the star.
And then a week ago, our sources picked up its whereabouts.
We traced it to the courier's office, where it was then sent to you.
Mr. Ash, the police are on their way to your office right now.
What?
I used a silent alarm.
Oh, you old man, I'm going...
Not like this, Jacob. We need to go.
Dr. Park, this is not over.
Oh, praise the Lord for his protection.
Wow, this has been so exciting.
All right, this medallion seems to be inviting us on some kind of journey. Franklin, what's your gut feeling about this?
To not follow through on this, in my opinion, would be one of the biggest missed opportunities of a lifetime.
I don't even know where to begin looking.
Hammerby.
What?
You're supposed to return it to its home, right? Well, in 1758, Carl Linnaeus bought a home in Hammerby, Sweden.
As you can see, the captain has once again turned on the seatbelt sign.
I can't believe we're on our way to Sweden.
Neither can I. Kendall, do you think we're doing the right thing? Spending CRT time and money like this?
I think it's okay, but we do need to get a better sense of our team's purpose.
So, where exactly are we going in Sweden?
Well, Jonathan, Uppsala is the fourth largest town in Sweden. It's known for the big university that's been there since the 15th century.
Son, tomorrow we'll be in the home of one of the founding fathers of science. All right, welcome to the Linnaeus Hammarby Creation Response Team. Okay, team, let's go inside the museum and spread out and look around the house. We need to find the place where this polar star belongs.
All right, everyone inside.
Welcome to Linnaeus Hammarby. Are you here for a tour?
Well, I guess we're just hoping to explore a little bit.
There is one beginning in 5 minutes. Please watch your children as our tour continues into the bedroom of Carlos and Sara Lisa Linnaeus. He was born in 1707. As a boy, he loved to work alongside his father in their garden. Later, he was mentored by a doctor in botany. He began a passionate hobby of studying flowers.
Didn't he study at the university?
Yeah. He enrolled at the University of Lund for a short time to study medicine. Many years later, he entered the University of Uppsala. Then he began giving botany lectures. In 1732, he traveled to Lapland, a wilderness here in Sweden. He went there to study and document the plants and animals living there. From there, he studied and traveled mostly in Holland. Upon his return in 1738, he began his medical practice.
Didn't he become a professor at Uppsala?
Yeah. He wrote several books during his lifetime. His best known was Systema Naturae, in which he presented his orders of classifications. He had cataloged 12,000 scientific names in his lifetime.
Amazing. Mm.
He was appointed to the Swedish Society of Sciences in 1744. He was knighted by King Adolf Frederick in 1753. And his accomplishments go on and on and
That's
on.
That's spectacular, yeah. Say so.
Any questions before we finish our tour?
Yes. Is there a place where Linnaeus put all of his priceless stuff?
Why? Are you looking for souvenirs? Okay, then. Thank you for joining me on the tour. Make sure to explore the grounds and have lunch at our cafe.
Sounds good.
Wait a minute, sir. I have a question for you.
Yes.
I can't help but feel that your group is up to something.
Well, actually, we have our own museum. And a week ago, we received an artifact along with a note that said we were to return it to its home.
This is it.
Yeah. What? What is the world? Is that the polar star?
We believe it is.
It should not be in possession of tourists like you.
Ingrid, is this where the polar star is kept?
Not here. The artifacts and collections of Linnaeus are spread all over the world.
Oh.
Please, wait in the lobby, if you will. I want to make a few calls on this. Yeah. Thank you for the information. Goodbye. Welcome to Linnaeus Hammarby. Are you here for a tour?
No. We are here looking for a group of Americans.
Yeah, they're here. Oh, you must be looking for them because they have the polar star.
So, you already know?
Yeah, I was just about to call the police.
No need. We're here to make sure that medallion is returned to its proper owners.
Oh, perfect. I'll show you where they are.
Look at this plaque.
This estate was purchased by Linnaeus in 1758. He bought it as a summer home to get away from the unhealthy city living in their winter home at Uppsala University.
You mean he had another house in 1758?
Oh, we're in the wrong spot?
No.
Kendall, I just wandered by the reception area. I overheard our tour guide talking to Jacob and Andreas.
They're here? Yes.
Okay, gang. All right, listen. I think we should probably get to Uppsala right away before those thugs see us.
Well, here's Linnaeus' winter home.
We need to hurry.
That's right. Let's get inside, return the medallion to its right place, and then get back home so we can get back to our ministry.
Hello, I'm Emma. Welcome to the Linnaeus Museum. Did you want to buy tickets?
Yes, for all of us, please.
In quite a large group.
Mm-hmm.
You're free to wander through. Here's a map of the displays.
Thank you.
And here is your change.
Oh, thanks a lot. Okay, gang, let's step over here for just a minute, okay?
Okay.
Now listen, my guess is that our time is limited. The Brennan family will take the library, the Park family will search the natural history collections, and Junior Response Team, you're on Linnaeus' study. You got it?
Got it.
All right, let's go.
Kendall, I don't see anywhere that the Polar Star belongs.
Dad, I overheard someone claim the only reason Linnaeus was a creationist was because he lived before evolution was really popular.
Well, Jonathan, in his zeal to categorize, he also classified different groups of people. Some have suggested that these classifications were the start of racism. He also classified humans in the primate group.
With monkeys? You're kidding!
No, I'm not. But evolutionists try to make it sound like Linnaeus somehow believed that monkeys had evolved into humans. But he was just grouping them because of similar traits. Being a Christian, Linnaeus believed that man was a special creation, made in God's image. He once wrote, "The earth's creation is the glory of God, as seen from the works of nature by man alone."
So, what else do the evolutionists say?
Well, Jonathan, it's been said that Linnaeus once believed God created each type of animal as they were, but by the end of his life, he became convinced that time could produce new species.
But that's not evolution, is it?
Well, Katie, back in his day, Linnaeus didn't yet understand genetics. But what modern evolution says is that mistakes in our genetic code can slowly change one plant or animal into a completely different one. But that has never been observed to be true.
So what about the new varieties he saw?
Well, variation is completely different than evolution. While evolution relies on accidents in the genetic code to make completely different animals, variation and adaptation are simply different combinations that God programmed into a creature from the start.
That just shows the amazing creativity of God. He not only created all the original kinds, but the ability for them to express all the variety.
Exactly. And I think that's the same conclusion that Linnaeus came to.
Kendall, these things are good to talk through. But remember Andreas and Jakob? They could be here any minute. We need to find the place where the Polar Star belongs.
Wow! Look in here!
Guys, this was Linnaeus' personal study. It's the perfect spot to keep his Polar Star medal.
Eddie, what are you doing?
Look in that window box. It's a taxidermied turtle, probably collected by Linnaeus himself.
Eddie, I don't know if that's such a great idea.
Oh, no!
You broke a tail!
Eddie!
Don't worry. I'll be able to get it back together.
Great. Eddie's broken the head off a 300-year-old turtle collected by Carl Linnaeus himself.
Guys, I can't get it back together.
Oh, perfect. Here comes someone.
Here, Mike. You take the head.
Don't throw that to me. Here. It's going back your way.
Not back to me. What am I supposed to do with it?
Hello, boys. I'm the maintenance man.
What seems to be the trouble in here?
I'm sorry, sir. I seem to have broken the head off of this turtle.
Oh, oh, that turtle head broke off 2.5 years ago. Every time I prop it back up in place, just in time to catch some unsuspecting tourist who's always touching things.
Oh.
Like you.
Great.
So, I've been watching you, boys. You snooping around for something?
Sir, we're trying to find the spot where Linnaeus kept his Polar Star medal.
The Polar Star? Oh, that's in a display case in the library.
Oh, dang.
Jesse, Martha, why don't you keep looking for something along the shelves over there?
Yes, sir.
I'm not quite sure what we're looking for.
Miss Brennan? Miss Brennan, are you there?
Yes, Dad.
We just found out the Polar Star is on display on a wall there in the library.
Oh, excellent. Roger that. Thanks for the info, Thad. Okay, guys, look along the walls.
I'll check this one. Jim, it's right here in this case.
You're right.
Why is the star already here?
This is a total surprise. Kendall, we've got something.
We'll be right there.
I don't get it. If we're supposed to return Carl Linnaeus' medal back to its home, how come there's already one here?
Maybe this wasn't Linnaeus' medal.
You mean this whole trip was a waste?
We've found you!
Oh, no!
Jacob,
stay back from our families.
It's time to give over that Polar Star.
Oh, no!
Is the Creation Response Team going to lose the Polar Star to Andreas and Jacob?
or will they be able to return the star to its home? To find out, join us next time for part two of Jonathan Park and the Journey Never Taken. You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Journey Never Taken. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the scavenger hunt lures the creation response team to the home of Charles Darwin's grandfather in London in part two of Jonathan Park and the Journey Never Taken.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.